right, let's quickly do this. Everybody say after me, say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I want you to reply me very warmly, all right? Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I'm being filled with the knowledge of His
will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I'm pleasing Him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Why is that? People's voices go down after they say something for like two sentences. Let's start again. Say, I'm increasing in every good work.
I'm
bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it loudly as the word of God is coming forth.
I have a receptive heart.
I have understanding. I have open ears.
I have open ears.
And I have understanding.
I have understanding.
Light is entering into me.
It's
driving away my darkness.
Light is entering into me.
And it is becoming life in me. Say, life is walking.
In me,
life is walking.
Healing all my diseases.
Putting an end to all my troubles.
Wiping out genetic troubles.
Healing my bones.
Healing my flesh.
Say, life is walking. Say,
I'm not growing old in body.
I am retaining the strength of my youth.
Say, like Caleb,
my strength is maintained.
Say, like Moses,
my strength is maintained. The vision of my eyes are maintained.
You know,
the Bible says Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not become dim and his strength did not abate. We must have expectation. What you expect is what God can do for you. Do you understand that? That's why we declare these words as we, you know, as it is written, we declare those words. If we don't declare them, we are not expecting anything. That's what is called the spirit of faith. Paul said that having the same spirit of faith as he that said, I said, we also believe, therefore we speak. You understand that? So everything that we believe, we speak them. So let's declare it again. Say, in me,
life is walking.
That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.
Is walking life in me.
Is healing what doctors said is incurable.
Life is working.
Life is working
in my finances.
Life is working in my career.
It is working.
It is correcting what was wrong
and making them right.
Say, life is working.
You know, I said something, was it on Saturday? I said, God said, let there be light. He didn't say, let there be light immediately. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Sometimes spiritual things, they are a process. That's what people don't realize. Sometimes they are a process. He didn't say, let there be light now, or otherwise something will happen. Jesus cursed the tree, not even realizing, let me be like that, not even consciously cursing the tree. And he said to the people, understand that anyone who will experience a release of power must be somebody who understands that anything I say will come to pass. For that reason, the emphasis for us Christians, we don't talk anyhow. You will never say, ah, man, this car is just going to die one suddenly. And you're talking to your car. The car will oblige you. Third Mainland Bridge, boom, it will just stop there. You're on your own. You understand? We understand that everything that we say, all right, will come to pass. Say, if you have that kind of understanding, then you cannot say to this mountain, be removed, all right, and be cast into the sea. I'm bringing that issue here. You may say something now, and you don't see the full effect over the next few weeks, or a few months, or sometimes even a few years. It doesn't mean that which was spoken will not come to pass. I said to us before, we are very patient with doctors. Doctors tell you, take this medicine for 3 years. 3 years is nothing. Look, that one is nothing. Typical treatment of tuberculosis is 1 year, 12 months. Of course, new drugs keep on coming. They take like 6 months. I think the best they have so far is 6 months combination. Everybody takes it very calmly, no problem. Everybody's happy. But their disease, the doctors don't cure. They will tell you, we're going to control it. And for some, they say, no, it's for a lifetime. They say, we can only control it. Hypertension is like that. When they start you on it, you're on it. Diabetes is like that. It's control. Have you ever heard of what they call gout? Parkinson's disease. There are so many diseases. Many. There are many. And people are patient. Do you understand my point? They are patient. They buy the medicines monthly. Go to clinic every 3 months. But when it's God's word, if it doesn't work now, it didn't work. They prayed for me yesterday. I'm not fully healed today. So I mean, it didn't work. I've come to tell you again today, life is working. It is working. Sometimes it's a process, but it is working. You keep on pumping it in. One day you'll see the full result. Declare it again. Say, in me, life is working. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, we've discussed before about what I call following God fully. I picked the expressions from the scriptures. You find in the book of Numbers chapter 14. And I think also in Joshua chapter, is it 7 or 14 now? Thereabout. And there, Caleb, different references, of course, that to the same thing. All of them referring to Caleb as an individual. When Caleb and Joshua with 10 other spies went into the promised land. And of course, you know the rest of the story. We all know what happened. And God said that I will bless Caleb and of course Joshua also because they followed me fully. And we said that to follow God fully, the way I tried to break it down for us here using Psalm 119 is to understand that the word of God has different aspects and we have to follow every aspect of the word of God so that we can be said to have followed him fully. That the word of God has promises. That is, God says to you something like, I shall not want, which is a promise. That is, as I go through life, I will not experience lack. That is a promise. And that's what David uses the word in our, at least our own translations of the Bible, thy word. That's what he uses all the time for those such things. Thy word. It refers to the promise he had given concerning his life. And I will say there are precepts. Precepts are the principles of God. There are ways by which God does things. Many times people will talk with me, I will just say something like maybe I listen to somebody give a testimony or you are listening to a message and you just say, no, that is not in line with divine character. You understand my point? That's God's precepts. That is, that's not how he does things. There are things, there is a way by which God does things. As an example, God expects all of us to be walking one way or the other. You know, idleness is not spiritual. Even though you may see a man, he's not actively physically walking. There must be something that he's doing. So I talk about the walk of rest. Like if you read my book, How to Walk for God, there's a chapter there titled The Walk of Rest. So that even though the man is resting, that rest is seen as walk. You understand? They came to him and said, what must we do to walk the works of God or to do the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. That is, God says that believing is walk. It doesn't mean you have to do something to show you are believing. It's saying that if you are truly believing, in the realm of the spirit, you are seen as exerting spiritual energy. Sometimes you see somebody who's sitting down. Do you understand? And there's a little boy in my house. One day, he did something very terrible. Can't remember exactly what. The only punishment I could give him, all right, which was deserving, which was commensurate with the amount of evil he did that day, the foolishness that was bound up in his heart, all right, when it manifested, I said, all right, go to your room and go and sit down there the whole day. Now, you may enter there and see that this boy is sitting down, but that was the hardest work he could do. Moving up and down was easier for him. I don't know whether you're getting what I mean by that. If I told him, Perez, oh yeah, go here, go run. That's to him, that's not work. But to sit down in one spot, don't come out of that room. Sit down there the whole day. That was work. He had to fight every inclination to get up. He had to fight every inclination to come out. I said, when it's even meal time, they should take his food to the room there. He has to eat inside the room. He's only allowed to go to the bathroom to go and ease himself. Every other thing, if you want water, call one of your senior ones to bring water for you inside that room. Now you tell the child to sit. And the door is open. He didn't lock the door. And he has to obey that. From the time he committed in the morning till evening, just stay in your room. You may not realize that is work. The guy was walking. Sometimes spiritually it's like that. Many of us, you know, in fact, I remember something I told your wife, Israel. This was, in fact, you didn't know her that time. One day I saw her and a group of people, you know, a number of maybe four or five at ShopRite. This was those early days when the mall just opened. I told her, she's hearing me there, I know. I said, you know, she's like my wife, you know, two of them are the same. I said, you know what? She said, well, I said, you need to be conquered. I said, you need to settle down. That is, you have to go and settle down. You have a lot of energy. Same thing with my wife. Sometimes to tell these people like that to sit down, they are walking. At least that sitting down, they have to use muscle to sit down. Most people have to just sit down by collapsing. They all know it is, they wind themselves to sit. Sometimes spiritually, that is what work is. God says, you have connections, don't use it. Do you understand my point? So you'll be looking at the phone and your finger will be scrolling up and down the number. And you'll be scrolling up and down the number. Finally, you will delete it lest you be tempted to call. That is work. Let me know, you know, we have to bear that in mind. There are a lot of times you don't realize some people are putting energy. So when Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe, sometimes believing means, like I was giving my wife a scripture yesterday when we were talking in the house. I said, the Bible says, he that believes will not be in a hurry. He that believes will not make haste. There are those that can run. They are genes. They are a combination of Usain Bolt and Gabriel Selassie. In one body, you understand? They can run fast and they can run far. Usain Bolt can run very fast, you understand? But people like Gabriel Selassie, they can run 42 kilometers and not take a break. That's how they are. And the Bible says it is a sign for them of unbelief. So God says to them simply, settle down and don't go anywhere. I need 48 months in which you won't go anywhere. Hey, those men will wake up every morning and confess to their legs, in the name of Jesus, you can rest. In the name of Jesus, you can relax. That is, you think it's a joke, but for goodness sake, the guy needs to hear those words for him to calm down. Because the Bible says, he that believes will not be in a hurry. He that believes will not have too many arrangements on how to make this ministry grow from one level to the next level all of a sudden. He that believes will realize that I have an assignment for this particular season. Let me do it until that season is over. When will the season be over? I don't know. I did not detect the seasons. You understand my point? I'm just going to do it until the owner of the seasons, the owner of the assignment, the master of the house comes back and says, this season is over. Talking about divine precepts. So God has precepts. I'm talking about that. Let me not sit on that too much. I knew that was going to bless somebody anyway. All right? So God has precepts. There's a way by which he does things. Yesterday, my wife and I were in the house, and I was explaining some principles to her concerning some things that, listen, this is a sign of our faith. Listen to me. No matter the amount of knowledge you claim to have as a believer, if it is not affecting your decisions, you know nothing. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. No matter the amount of intellectual, you know, knowledge of God, the scriptures you claim to have, if it is not affecting the way you make critical decisions in life, you know nothing. You may be able to quote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and read it without referring to the Bible until you get to the end of the book of Revelations. If it's not affecting how you make choices, if it's not affecting how you make critical choices, which business do I do? Why am I going to do this? I'm going to get married. Who am I married? I'm going to relocate. Why? If you cannot, based on the things you know from the scriptures, make decisions, you know nothing. Very important. So I was talking to my wife yesterday. I said, listen, the things we learn, they are not for our heads. It's for times like this that we have to make decisions, that those things that we claim to know, we start saying, because of this thing that I know, everybody's doing this, I can't do it like that. In fact, just to give you a practical thing, of course, you apply things differently depending on your situation. That's one thing about always filling your head with the knowledge of God so that the Holy Spirit can bring up something for you. I said, there are times, in fact, you know, this particular one, I said, you don't write two applications. Your life is not an accident. Write that one and leave it. If they won't give it to you, too bad. I said, look, you are not a game of chance person. You get my point? Let me see which one works. I said, sorry. I'm not a game of chance person. Having considered everything, this is the only one I want. God has not, look, listen, so I'm not, it's not like, okay, let us put 10 down. One might work. Once it becomes a matter of one might work, I'm saying my life is a game of chance. Sometimes, look, you have to make decisions like that. I'm talking about divine precepts. Let me not sit on that too much. So, there are things that are in line with God's character. There are things that are the way by which God does things. And we have to walk by them. I was saying, there are precepts. There's a promise. There are precepts. There are commandments. Commandments are express instructions based upon divine precepts, which are clearly stated out. A very good one, especially for those of us in the New Covenant, you shall honor thy father and thy mother. Paul said, it's a commandment with a promise. All right? There are commandments like that. And then we said there are testimonies. Testimonies are personalized commandments. There are things that may be right for everybody to do, but based on the way you understand your purpose in life and what God called you to do, and you understand it, because you see, each God makes a demand. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. You understand? So God, having given you some level of understanding in life, he demands some things of you that you cannot even demand of other people. That's a matter of fact. So, even though you know what you are doing is right, but you know that not everybody has come up to that level. Sometimes it's just something that is unique about your life and your ministry. All right? And based upon that, you make certain decisions. And we call those things testimonies. Testimonies are like personalized commandments. For example, in Israel then, when Samson was born, and then again, what's the other guy? Samuel. Both of them, they did not cut their hair. But we know people in Israel used to cut their hair, because the cutting of the hair of Absalom was a national event. Remember, it was not against the law. Everybody knew when Absalom cut his hair, and they used to weigh it. Everybody knew. I believe that his father too, David, used to cut his hair. And these are people that served the purpose. I mean, David, as an example, he served the purpose of God. He was a man after God's heart. Yet, Samson did not allow a razor touch his hair. You understand? Same thing with Samuel. So you see, those people, for them, don't cut your hair becomes a personalized commandment. And so, each person will have his own. Each person will have her own when it comes to the matter of this life. So we also talk about ordinances, yes. Ordinances are things that are physical things that we do as a sign of our faith. For example, we have to gather together once in a while. You must belong to a community of believers that gather periodically. If you don't, you are disobeying God. That's the way it is. Because iron must sharpen iron. Iron must sharpen iron. Israel asked somebody once, you know, one of our brothers used to be here, we don't see him often anymore. He said, he asked him a very good question, and that question was Holy Spirit inspired. He said, all right, no problem. We don't see you again. Who do you talk to? That's all I want to know. Are you getting my point? Issues will come up in your life. Who do you chat with? Who do you chat with? Or you just go to Facebook and be talking to the whole world. Facebook is deception. You get my point? You're talking to everybody, but talking to nobody. You are the village goat. You know the village goat? You know the parable of village goats? Belongs to everybody, so he dies of hunger. You go to Facebook, you're talking to the whole world. Well, nobody's talking to you. Sometimes when I see Twitter, it makes me laugh. You know, sometimes people on Twitter, followers on Twitter, they'll tell you 25,000 people follow one person on Twitter. Fine, that's not my problem. People follow me on Twitter too. What I can't understand, that same fellow is following 18,000 people. Obviously, you're not reading the messages. But that one person is following 18,000 people on Twitter. I look at it sometimes and say, bros, what's the deal? What's the deal? No, check it. Just go to Twitter. What's in the way? You get there, you check some things. Okay, this guy has 25,000 followers. Fine. Check how many people he's following. 8,000. You're following 8,000 people on Twitter. If they all tweet once a day, you get 8,000 notifications. Obviously, you are not reading it. Twitter, Facebook, they won't help your spirituality in that area. Are you getting my point? You must still gather with people All right? I like the fact that I belong to chat groups on WhatsApp and all of that, that of brethren. I know each person, all right? And we talk to each other. That's good, though. You know, you can digitize your Christianity. It's good. But physical gathering is still important. You must pray together. People who, you know, sometimes something bad we happen to you, and God puts, you know, you don't realize it. Somebody said something once. I got a message. He said that you should pray for somebody every day, and that your prayer maybe the thing that will solve somebody's problem and make somebody happy. He said, I can't remember the way they said it, but this is the general spirit of it. He now said that there are days you feel very happy also. Don't forget, somebody actually was praying for you that day. Do you get my point? Yes, you know. If you read the story in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, when I talked about sometimes Isaacs die, you understand? And I talked about the experience we had in my family, my wife and I, with the first pregnancy, all right? And then, of course, towards the end of the pregnancy, the baby died in utero and was born, all right, an IUD. I remember when I went to see one of my friends then, he said, no wonder that like the week before, he had just had me on my mind, so he was praying. Do you get my point? I didn't tell him anything. He didn't know anything. This was before the days of GSM. I had to go to the, I think the phone card, you know, that kind of thing. So when I saw him weeks later, he said, no wonder that it just coincided with the season when I would just come to his mind and he would start praying. He just feel like something is out of order. He didn't know what, but he just started praying. Thank God for praying in the spirit. You remember, okay, thank you, well, Lord, take care of him. I begin to pray in the spirit. Something I just tell him, he said, okay, that explains it. There was a time I heard a story. Missionary was somewhere, you know, deep in the jungles where they go and do stuff. You know, preach the gospel. And the fellow became very ill. Sick unto death. Had a bad fever. Was going to die. Became unconscious. Then woke up suddenly. The person was well. You know, there are times you are confessing the word. You are confessing the word. And the word is working. This one, you are dead. So you can't confess. Dead men don't talk. You know that kind of thing? You're unconscious. The fellow was unconscious. Couldn't confess Jack. Later on, when the fellow traveled back home, I think either to England or to the United States, when they checked record, you know, just talking to the friends. One person now suddenly said, there was this particular day, I just had you on my mind. And I prayed and prayed and prayed until I felt a release. It was that release came when that fellow woke up from the deathbed. Do you get my point? There is no good Christian that's alone in my corner. I'm just alone. The Bible says he sets the solitary in families. He finds them solitary. He takes them and puts them in families. He said only the rebellious continues to dwell in a past place. Those who don't listen, you can't talk to them. They know everything they are doing. They are the only one that knows everything. The whole world is upside down. I'm the only one that is sane. All of them are crazy. People like that are the ones you find always alone. Don't talk to anybody. I just stay by myself in my corner. It is not the will of God. You are disobeying the ordinances of God. That's what I'm talking about. That's an ordinance. Communion, sharing communion, literal communion. This is my blood. This is my body that was broken for you. It's an ordinance. Interestingly enough, that is one ordinance that Jesus commanded. Now, we said all of these things, following all of them, is what is called following God fully. Don't forget that. That is what is called following God fully. The problem, very common in today's Christianity, is that people often follow God only by promises. So they come to church on Sunday, and then the pastor comes and says, this week it shall be well with you. And it is right. You say, I do it by the time we are closing every Saturday evening here. After our Bible studies, I do it because it is right. The priest in the scriptures, that was the commandment that God gave them. He said to Moses, say to Aaron and to his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel. You will say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord, he gave them instructions on what to declare upon people. It is right. You must declare upon your friends, your family. Most importantly, if you're a married person, declare upon your wife as a man, declare upon your children, declare upon your business. Walk into your shop, all right, your business premises, go in there, all right. If you're supposed to open at 8, be there by 7:30, saying things. Talk to the door, this door. People walk through you today, they will bring blessing. Troublemakers can't pass through here. You're talking to the door. 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 I found that after preaching on Saturday, I said towards the end, that when God said to Jesus Christ, this is concerning Jesus to everybody, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. What did he say? Listen to him, hear him. Until I was preaching on Saturday, I thought that he was telling the people to hear him. It was after I finished preaching, I realized that he was sending everything to hear him. He told the seas, hear him. He told the trees, hear him. He told everything, hear him, including the human beings. That was why when he spoke to the storm said, they said we should hear him. The storm shut up. When he said, peace be still, the storm went down. When he spoke to the tree, nobody will eat from you again. The tree said, they said we should hear him. The tree just let us die by ourselves. What am I saying? If you put the word of the Lord Jesus upon your mouth, God has spoken to your business. Hear him. I don't know what I hear what I said. He has spoken to your life. Hear him. Spoken to your body. Hear him. It's what you say to your body. The body will eventually respond to. I told you that let there be light. Doesn't mean let there be light now. Let there be light. God walks away. Light will show. Light will come. A lot of us will use our faith to kill the word that has gone forth because it didn't manifest 2 seconds later. So go there early. Declare upon your business. You will bring good business. You are an institute of righteousness on the earth. You're talking to your business. God has said, hear him. The walls there will hear. So it is right. That's what I'm trying to say. But remember, we don't only follow God by his promises. So pastor comes to church on Sunday, he's declaring upon you, he shall be well with you, you're going and you're coming in. That is one aspect. As he's saying that, you must obey his precepts. Once you have heard the promise is not only a commandment to succeed, it's also a commandment to behave. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I said? The promise of God is not only a commandment to succeed, because that's what a blessing is. A blessing is an empowerment to succeed. Nothing. It never happens that God starts something without putting a blessing therein. After creating everything, he said, now that we have finished this, be fruitful and multiply. That was the electricity needed to energize everything. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what is called a blessing. Anything you are doing in life, you must start it with a blessing. It's very important. But remember, even though God gave a blessing, a commandment, a promise to the house of Eli, he said, because they refused to honor him, he said, therefore, I have to withdraw that blessing. He said, because he that honors me, I will honor. Because he said, did I not swear to your father's house that you will be priest before me forever? He said, but now far be it from me. Why? Because it is the person who honors me that I will honor. That is, the fulfillment of that promise was predicated upon the honoring of God. Paul said, since we have these promises, therefore, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is, a commandment, a blessing, the promise is not only a commandment to succeed, it is also a commandment to behave. So, we have the promises, we must walk by the precepts. We must continually learn the commandments. We must continually obey the ordinances and pay attention to our personal testimonies. When we have done all of these things, then we will use the words spoken concerning Caleb and Joshua, that they followed the Lord their God fully. And because of that, they became giant killers. Because of that, they took the mountain. Caleb took a mountain that the Bible says used to belong to the strongest, the biggest, the most mighty of the Anakim, a man called Arba. So they called the place Kiriath Arba. That was the very place, not the other places, so where the small giants were. The place where the big giants were was the place that Caleb went to and went and took the land and renamed the place Hebron. The energy was not just determination. It was based upon following the Lord, his God, fully. Do you get my point? Now, listen to this. Open your Bibles. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, you see why I said all of these things. Actually, where I'm narrowing everything I'm saying down to is the fact that this is our last day of school of prayer for the year. And for some 40 weeks thereabouts, every Tuesday, we have been here studying the word of God concerning prayer. And I'm talking about following the Lord God fully to explain that before the blessing can come upon anybody, it must have a fertile ground. That's what I'm trying to say by all of those things. The blessing must have a fertile ground upon which it can be planted. The seed is the word of God. But you read from that book of Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 8, you will find out that the seed has to be planted in an appropriate soil. The soil must be good. The soil must be able to receive the word that is planted. And you see where I'm going in a moment. The preparation of the soil is by the entrance of that word also, which goes to break the fallow ground. That word goes to break the rocks, clears the place, so that the promises can come in. Now, now see verse 28, in chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, from verse 1. It said, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey," if you have King James, it's beautiful there. He said, "If you diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." I'm reading New American Standard here. He said, "If you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today." He said, "The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." We'll look at the blessings in a moment. But notice this. He said, "These blessings will come upon you upon one condition," based on one condition, "that you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today." Now, if you read that particular, I listened to Derek Prince about this, he explained this, and I've checked some other translations. Some will tell you, if you pay attention, that's what I want to bring out. They'll tell you, if you pay attention, if you, you know, Derek Prince said, the literal Hebrew says, "If you shall listen, listening." That's what he said. If you shall listen, listening. Or if you shall listen, listen. And anytime you read the scriptures, in fact, using the words of Joseph, once something is said twice, it shows you it's very important. You know when Joseph said that? He said the two dreams he said to Pharaoh, they are the same thing. He said, but the fact that God had to repeat it to you, thereby showing you twice, he said it means that this thing is about to start immediately. So, and it's like that. So when Jesus wants to talk, you hear, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." All right? Literally, it means, "Amen, amen." That is, what I've told you is like saying, "I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give in this case before this court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." That was how they could do it. So when it says, "You shall listen, listening," what it was saying is that, I'm telling you, this listening thing, not the matter. Do you get my point? This is the issue. You must pay attention. That's why some versions will say, "If you shall pay attention." Now, interestingly enough, that word for the Israelite, for the Hebrew, what it meant was to obey. Are you getting my point? Like I said, didn't you hear, or did he hear you? When they say like that, did he pay attention means, did he do what you told him to do? It's not just the ears hearing, but that the only proof that you heard is that you did. Do you get my point? But the issue with doing does not start with doing. It starts with what? I didn't hear you well.
Hearing.
It starts with hearing. It doesn't start with doing. So the man who we do is the one that hears and hears. There are two types of hearing. There is hearing, which is just one hearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just hear. And those are the people that are hearers only. But the people who are doers are those who hear. I hope you are connecting it. If you shall diligently hearken, or you shall hearing, or listening. They are not those who hear only. Now they hear only once. That is the attitude that just enters my ear, I don't do it. But they are those who hearing. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. For those who want to interpret that scripture, that's what it means. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing. It is not faith cometh by hearing, comma, and hearing by the word of God. No. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But the hearing is the hearing and hearing type. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's a principle in the scripture. Hearing and hearing is a principle. Is a fellow who pays attention that finds the word working out automatically in their lives. Are you getting my point? And it is those people that the promises of God will be fulfilled in them. I told you I'm going somewhere, right? Good. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about me. Say like you believe it. Say he's talking about me. I pay attention. I pay attention, Gongo. Say the way you like it. I say I pay full attention. I'm a hearing hearer. I'm not a hearer only. You see, there are two types. There's the hearing hearer, and there's the hearer only. Say it again. I am a hearing hearer.
I
hear and hear.
Faith comes to me.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. They want to do. No. It comes with hearing. Doing is a sign that you heard. Listen, in Christianity, doing is not an effort. We don't put our effort into doing. We do put our effort into what?
Hearing.
Says, so, are we not supposed to do? No, wait. If you hear, you will do. If you don't do, you didn't hear. You go back and hear some more. The doing for us is a sign. It is a sign that we heard. So, assuming now that you get to your office, you finish hearing the word. In fact, there's this book I would recommend, Love, The Way to Victory by Kenneth Hagin. And if you can get the audio sermons too, good. In fact, they are the same thing. Usually he preaches sermon first, then they extract the book from the sermons, all right? There was a time I had some issues in the office. And I was angered and provoked. The work of the flesh is outburst of anger. Is that not so? So you know what I did? I said, this is not good. So I went back home, took the book and read it. That's what I did. I took the book and what? Just to reread it so that you can hear it. You know, the same thing. So if you find out, let's assume now that you are a husband and you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church. Don't go back home and say, okay, let me start loving my wife. Now you won't. You will not. It's hard. What you do is that grab a book like Shall I Say Yes and read section 2. By the time you finish reading it, you understand? You read it with prayer. Next time you see your wife, the love will just be, do you jiggy 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 jiggy. You understand what I'm saying? The love will love you. You know, I keep on saying that. Christians, we don't act on the word. We don't act. Yes, that's what I'm going to say. Christians, we don't act on the word. The word does what? Acts on us. The action you find out of us is something that the word placed inside by itself. So the doing is a sign. If you find out that you are doing the word, it means you heard it enough. If you find that you are not doing the word, you haven't heard it enough. Don't try and do it. Go and hear it again. Pay attention until the word starts acting on you. Just find yourself doing. Just find yourself doing. You can't control it. You are doing. The more you hear, the more you do. If you are a hearing hearer, we labor wrongly a lot of times, we Christians. If I'm going to teach you how to change your life, people hear wrong things and want to do the right things. You can never do the right things by hearing the wrong things. It's not possible. You can never do the right thing while you are hearing the wrong thing. What you hear controls what you do. That's why, you know, I'm talking about you. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about me. Because, you know, I've said it to you before. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm not joking about it. I know what I preach. That is, I know the kind of things I say. No, I'm not kidding. There are times I wish the next Bible study I could sit down and hear what that pastor said last Saturday. I'm telling you the truth. So that's what I mean. So because of that, it's not me talking. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not me. It is the Holy Spirit. And because of the kind of things that flows forth, I want to tell you two things. If you pay attention to what I say, that's me talking, Pastor Banky. Two things will definitely come out of your life. One, you will prosper abundantly. That one for sure. And two, you won't die uselessly, you won't die early. You will live your life out, you will fulfill the counsel of God. Those two things. All other things are around it. Like, will you marry the right man? Yes. the right woman? Of course. You will. Because the word is directing you. That's the point I'm making. Why? You paid attention. Life doesn't come to you because of desire. What comes to you is what you heard and you believed. I said earlier, I'll say it one more time, you can't do what is right if you are hearing what is wrong. Doing is a sign that we are hearing. If they say love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you get home, you are hating your wife as the devil hates the church, you didn't hear. If they say be submissive unto thy own husband, you understand? And you get there, you find out that you are dominating thy own husband. You did not hear. You say, hey, tomorrow I must be submissive. Nah, lie. Normally, it's like when you have finished the act of unsubmission, what is the correct English for that? The insubordination and domination. You will have finished it before you sit and say, yeah, what happened just now? I just insubordinated and dominated my husband. But you go back, take a book, thank God for technology. I told you once, I found out I'd been ill for a while. I didn't know what was going on. I would struggle, confess the word of God, struggle, go to my work. I woke up one morning. I found out that actually it was chicken pox. And I found the lesions broke out all over my body. You know what I did? I still remember very well. I just took one tape. That was the medicine. I settled that. I still remember the message. Supernatural Living Series by Bishop David Oyedepo, tape 2, Stirring Up the Gift. I just sat there. I just sat there and listened to it again. After the message finished playing, after about 1 hour, the thing had entered. Kenneth Hagin said, faith is a concomitant of knowledge. That as the word is entering into you, faith is riding upon it and entering. That's why Paul said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of... You understand my point? It cometh by hearing and hearing. When I finished hearing it, I cursed the thing. It's not the vexation, you know, you don't want to pray. I curse you right now! It's not the noise. Jesus will have whispered, Lazarus, comfort. Lazarus will still have comfort. When he killed the tree, he didn't shout. Do you understand my point? He did not shout. That is, it is what is built up inside that gives power to what he has said. Not the volume of the voice. After that, I just cursed the thing. That day passed. I woke up next morning. I can't forget that feeling in 50 years. I kind of forgot, you know, the whole thing. I just woke up in the morning, just reflexly, just rubbed my hand on my face. There's something I remember. Yesterday, something was all over the place. I reached for the mirror, looked. Everything had run away. It wasn't, you have faith. No. It was, I took that tip, you understand my point? And reinforced the faith. The word by itself took care of everything. You will not succeed in life because you prayed plenty prayer. No. You will succeed in life because the right words entered into you. Actually, this is how to change your life. One of the messages I want to preach there, please make sure you are there, invite somebody. One of the things I want to tell people is that many people, your life will not change until you change what you are hearing. You've made no progress in 8 years. You have been going to the same church for 15 years. Inside that church for 8 years, and they said that only that pastor must you listen to. You should know that church is not good for you. Because in 8 years, you've made no progress. You have been so committed. You are every Sunday, guru, you come at 7 because you are a worker. You close at 4. Twice a week, you are there. You pay tithe, you give offering, you do first fruit, second fruit, third fruit. You do everything. You've done it for 15 years. And in the last 8 years, you've been on one spot. Listen, nothing wrong with church. But listen to me, you are not hearing the right thing. You are not. Even if it is here, please shift first. Go and listen to somebody else for maybe 1 year. That is why, I'm not bragging on myself, but it's a matter of fact, those of you who know me well enough, I don't encourage you to listen to me alone. When I get messages by other people, I come and give it to Israel. Hey, hold it. Anybody wants, let them share. Because no matter how much I am accurate in what I say, unless my name is Jesus Christ, I can't feed you all around. It's not possible. You listen to me alone, purely alone, you will be malnourished in an area. It may just be vitamin K that you lack. So you go there bleed. You won't know why you're just bleeding. And you say that it's because you only eat Pastor Banky. He has all many nutrients, but he doesn't have vitamin K. So where do you get vitamin K from? Say, okay, there's one man, he talked about Larry Bucket. He will tell you how to ensure your business does not bleed money. He does not know. I didn't put it in his mouth. He doesn't have that unction, doesn't have the anointing. I'm telling you the truth. If you, listen, if you go to any church and they say, listen to only this pastor, it's a bad church. Well, your pastor is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Only him. Actually, I heard one man of God say it too. He said, am I not your pastor? Am I not your apostle? Am I not your prophet? Am I not your teacher? Am I not your evangelist? I said, okay, only you. Listen, if you're a preacher, let me just warn you. This is how to die on time. When only you is everything. Only you to everything. To the whole church. Tell your neighbor, that's bad. In case you are going to that kind of church, don't go away. I'm not saying you should leave the church. Don't leave. But when the master says, oh God, I don't agree. You are my pastor and teacher, but my evangelist is in the church down the road. After service, I'm going to buy his book. But as for the apostle, he's not even in Nigeria. He's in Cameroon. My friend is coming next week. He'll bring me the books. If you check the head of my bed, Bishop, you enter my room, if you notice the head of the bed, you know, all kinds of books there. The idea is that when you do like this, you find evangelist, do like this, you find pastor, do like this, his teacher, do like this, apostle. You find different ones. No, really, I'm telling you the truth. Back to what I was saying. So if you are listening to the same set of messages, the same person, last 15 years, going to the same church, last 8 years, you've made no progress, you are in the wrong place. The man is good, though. Maybe he's good, but, you know, you are malnourished. Uh-huh. You are lacking the vitamin B spiritually. Your vitamin D level is too low spiritually. You lack some trace elements. And maybe you just have spiritual kwashoko, Frank. Frank kwashoko like this. Your spiritual belly is big now, so you learn. You need to go and get spiritual protein. There's no church that's the church of God. You know, I keep on saying that. There's none. Some say this is our denomination. God told our founding father that he will meet. This is the church he's coming to meet when he comes to the earth. You know, sometimes when God is speaking in English and your founding father couldn't speak good English, you will hear anything. You will hear anything. You know, there are things you hear. You just start laughing. You just start laughing. He said, God said that. Which God? He said, Jesus said that one. He said, Jesus said, he's a lie. Just tell the person like that. Say, get out of my friend. You know that, you know, sometimes when people say, you know, Catholics say that we are the first church. You know, I can't believe that. If you know when you don't know history, you believe some stories. It's only when you don't know history. One church was together, they split into two. So one claimed they are the first. The other people think they are the first. You know, everybody thinks it's the first. They have the one that split. There have been many splits among the people who don't know. Everybody believes it's the first. The Russian Orthodox think they are the first. The Roman Orthodox think they are the first. Everybody thinks they are the first. Well, I don't care that you are first, second, third. As long as you are Christians and you're part of the body of Christ, when Jesus comes, I'm digressing. Let me get back to my message. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I went through all of that, all right, trying to explain the particular principle. That when we pay attention to the balanced word, that's why I want you to do that, all right? You listen to the same thing. No, your life will not change, I want you to say. I said that's what I'm going to talk about. Your life will not change until you change what you are hearing. If life is not moving the direction you like, don't try and move it the other direction by force. Move it by a change of hearing. Go and hear something else. Even if what you are hearing is not bad, you need to add something to it. That's what I was trying to emphasize. It may not be bad, but you need to add something to it. You know, Paul preached. You know, Paul has some of the deepest revelations that any human being ever had. Yet, by the time he finished, if you listen to Paul alone, it will get to a point you will get confused. Yeah. So God now sent James. Paul said, it is faith. Salvation by faith. You believe by faith. You know, and he wasn't wrong. Except that he's a human being. He's not Jesus Christ. No matter how deep the revelation, all right, was, somebody else had to balance it for him. He preached revelation so deep, Peter had to explain that some things are hard to be understood. That is, Peter, that listened to Jesus direct, heard Paul write. He read Paul's writings. And he had to go home to pray. That, dear Lord, did you reveal to this man? Or he smoked before he wrote this one? And the Lord said, I revealed it to him. Ah! A man I was reading once said, if you have not yet confused the righteousness by faith, all right, with lawlessness, he said, you have not yet understood the writing of Paul. That when you fully understand what Paul was saying, for a moment, you would think this man is preaching lawlessness. And some people took it and went into lawlessness. So James now came. James said, no, 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 no. We say it is faith. We agree it is faith. But faith must cooperate with works. He now said, was Abraham not justified by works? Even though Paul said he was justified by faith in Romans chapter 4. James came and said, he was justified by works. But what was he saying? He said his works cooperating with his faith made him perfect. After reading the two of them side by side for a long time, I finally got understanding. What was James saying in effect? No matter how much faith you claim to have, until there's works to show, that faith is not complete. So you keep on working on the faith until it produces works. Somebody told me once that, you know, Martin Luther preached by faith and by faith alone. Can you remember? They said Martin Luther refused to read James. As far as I was concerned, James did not know the Bible. But you see, don't blame him. When he came from a background of by works and works alone, that time the church said if you wanted to be saved, you know what the Pentecostals are doing now? It's not new. The church did it that time now. If you want to be saved, you pay money. For God to forgive your sins, you will punish your flesh. There's a church now in Nigeria, they are preaching a kind of restitution that is destroying people. They can't accept forgiveness, they just want restitution. The evil you committed long ago, you want to undo it, you can't. There are things you did you cannot undo. Leave that one to God. You just believe and go. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You can't undo it. Just believe and go on with your life. Repent. And God, go and correct the problems. You can't go there and be trying to correct the problem. 18 years ago, I was in this school. I cheated on the exam on the last day. Okay, now that you have told us, what should we do now? We'll nullify all the results in the school for that year because you believed. Come on, get away from here. The Lord is good. I've been having to answer some questions on the restitution matter before I brought to me. All right, you have to be wise. You understand my point? Things you can't undo, don't try and undo them. If you stole my pen, it's still with you. Give me back. I agree. But if you stole my pen 18 years ago, I have bought another one since that time. The one you stole, you have finished it. You don't want to buy another one and come and give me back after 18 years. I mean, you'll carry a while ago. You don't believe in forgiveness. That's your problem. There are things you just leave for God. Now, some people came out of that background. You get my point? For that reason, when Martin Luther came out, he said, no, 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 no. By faith and by faith alone. That's why he was so emphatic on it. So that's why he didn't like James saying that there's anything to do with works. He said, no, James, leave this matter. I've been working all my life. Where did I get to? But actually, the works, all right? I'm trying to make out the issue that James was needed. Even Peter was needed. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. Saw too many people justified by faith sleeping around. You see this in Christianity today. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Last week, you engaged your sister Angela. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This week, you engaged your sister Priscilla. I am the righteousness. I'm not telling you what you did with them. I'm just the only one that can say openly. Very soon, your righteousness will soon take you to heaven. Prematurely, if you know what I'm talking about. You'll just be 31. Just be righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Boom, your head will just explode. So what happened? He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But he did not add to his faith virtue. He didn't add to his faith some crucial things of life. That was why Peter had to come also and say, we know Paul had taught these things, but brethren, add to your faith virtue. Are you getting what I'm saying? What's the point I'm making? Our solution is in hearing and hearing the right things. What we see outwardly, including what we do, is a sign of what we heard. If we are doing wrong, we heard wrongly. What we thought we heard, we didn't hear properly. If they say, love your wife as Christ loved the church, you went home and you hated your wife as the devil hates the church, you didn't hear well. Go back to that service. Go and listen to the message again. Play it to yourself again. Beg one of your friends to preach to you. Have you noticed that when people tell you things, they're energized to do what is right? I told you once I wanted to make a decision. I knew what was right to do. But, you know, Jesus said, David said, he's mindful that we are but flesh. Ah, you know, go here, ministry. Go here. Work. You know, credible, you know what I mean? Legitimate work. Professional work. And pepper go drop. Who does not need pepper? You know what they call pepper? I looked at it. Ah, this ministry, where you won't go do so. Anything will drop. Sometimes this means nothing they drop. Men of God, you know now. That's how some preachers start charging. Like, no, this was something was drop. I in my mind, I knew the ministry one was the issue. But but this other one, man, Pepe go drop. CV go improve, you know, CV. I need the right thing to do, but the flesh did not agree to do it. I said, this preaching will go do them another day. Don't worry. So what did I do? I took my phone and called my friend, who many of you here know. Most people here have seen it before, Pastor Courage. I called him. I said, man of God, I said, these are the situations in my life currently. This one, CV go improve, Pepe go drop. Well, in case somebody listens to this from Australia, Pepe is money. Somebody may be listening to you from Australia. You say, why is Pepe raining in that place? Pepper is not raining, no. We mean money will come. So I told my friend, I said, look at the matter. I said, look at this other one, open door for ministry. After we talk, he said, you see what is important in life? You know, calling, he talked. I said, what do you say now? He said, I think you should go for the ministry one. I said, thank you. I knew that was what you would say. And that was why I called you. Because I knew it was the right thing to do. Do you understand my point? Except that the flesh not greed duam. So the Bible says angels strengthened him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I did was to call an angel. So angel, please strengthen me, strengthen me. So the angel strengthened me, and I went and obeyed the will of God. Are you getting my point? Oh, by the way, the pepper now dropped. Let me just add that one to it. Just for you, just so that you will understand what really happened at the end of the day. So God just said, all right, he finally went that way. Okay, give him that pepper. Oh, Australian, sorry. Give him that money that the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what did I say by that? Words. What did I say?
Words.
Yes, words. When we hear the right things, our lives move in the right direction. So we read all of this to, well, since our last day of the year. I want to bring forth the blessings of God from the scriptures again upon everyone that has been paying attention to his word. That's what I'm trying to say. You've been paying attention to that word, and it is working in your life. Whether you realize it or not, it is working in your life. And now listen to this. Everybody, please rise to your feet quickly. All right, now what I want to do is to declare. Now remember all of this, we said there is a foundation of following God fully. We follow God fully, not by trying, but by hearing him completely. When we hear him fully, we are able to obey him. And when we have been paying attention, we know that that word is working in us, and is working out his obedience. Now, so Moses said that, now it shall be, if you listen attentively to the Lord your God, and as a consequence, you are careful to do his commandments, which I command you today. He said, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And I'm saying to you, standing in front of me, listening to this, who have been paying attention to the word of God, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth.
Amen.
He said, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Now listen to this. He said, blessed you will be in the city.
Amen.
I say to you, blessed you will be in the country.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the offspring of your body.
Amen.
And blessed shall be the produce of your ground.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the increase of your business.
Amen.
He said, blessed shall be the offspring of your beasts.
Amen.
This here refers to your investments, things that are working for you. He said, blessed shall be the increase of your herd and the young of your flock.
Amen.
That is, whatever you put your hands to do, it will prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, blessed shall your basket shall be your basket and your kneading bowl.
Amen.
I'm praying for you. I'm not just reading the scripture, I'm declaring the word of God upon you.
Amen.
Blessed shall be your basket.
Amen.
Blessed shall be your kneading bowl.
Amen.
Blessed shall you be when you come in.
Amen.
And blessed shall you be when you go out.
Amen.
When you come in, you will rest in peace.
Amen.
Your house will be a house of peace.
Amen.
The peace of God will dwell therein in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, blessed shall you be when you go out.
Amen.
That means when you go out, all the troubles of this world, they will not be able to overcome you.
Amen.
You will be protected on every side.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil shall befall you. And no plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so will the Lord surround you at all times in the name of Jesus. Now verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you.
Amen.
They will come up against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways.
Amen.
Seven in the scriptures is said to be the number of perfection, which means they will flee in every way available. All your problems will disappear in every way available.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All your troubles that come against you will flee before your very eyes.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Say,
so the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your bands.
Amen.
And in all that you put your hand to do.
Amen.
He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you.
Amen.
He will bless you in the career that he set you inside.
Amen.
He will bless you in the business that he gives you to start.
Amen.
He will bless you in everything that you put your hands to do.
Amen.
He will bless you in your marriage.
Amen.
He will bless you in your academics.
Amen.
He will bless you in your civil service.
Amen.
He will bless you in your private business.
Amen.
He will bless you in your investments.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself.
Amen.
As he swore to you. Now listen to this, that is, this world, this wicked world, people who are denying God, they will not be able to sway you into their fold.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will keep you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. He says, so all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And they will be afraid of you.
Amen.
They will respect your God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now listen to this. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord will make you abound in prosperity.
Amen.
In the offspring of your body.
Amen.
And in the offspring of your beasts.
Amen.
And in the produce of your ground.
Amen.
In the land which the Lord swore to your fathers
Amen.
To give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens.
Amen.
Let me say it again. The Bible says he keeps sound wisdom for the upright.
Amen.
God stores things in heaven. The internet was not the creation of man. It was not. No business idea was created by mankind. What happened was that at a point in time, God gave the idea, the technology to somebody. I like reading the essay written by Charles Townes, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics, shared it with somebody in 1965, thereabout, or 63 or 64, one of those, sometime in the 60s. And Charles Townes said, a prophet will say he saw a revelation. He said, this is the closest a scientist gets to it, the way by which I understood the Mesa and the Lesser phenomenon. He said, that is the prophetic equivalent of revelation. The man doesn't understand Christianity with you understand, though he was brought up a Baptist. He doesn't understand the Christianity the way you and I understand it. But the man says that this realm of the spirit is real. And that physics is able to understand physical, that is, that science can understand how things are. Say they can never understand why. That only through religion and faith can you understand why things are. I was reading somebody else a few days ago. He said, science puts things, takes things apart to see how they are. He said, but religion, faith, puts things together to see why they are. That they're giving purpose to everything. I like the essay of Charles Townes because he helps you to understand that indeed God stores things in the heavens and he gives them to mankind at different times. Many people you know that God allowed to popularize some things, he did not bring them into the earth through them. If I ask most of you now who started the internet, 90% of people here don't know the name. But there's a man. But who gave him the idea, he too may not know. Warren Buffett is off and on the richest man in the world. But everything he does, he learned from his teacher. He obeys the words of that man to the letter. That's how he became the richest man in the world. So where things began from, you don't know. And I'm saying to you, nobody can birth anything on this earth that does not understand spiritual things. It's not possible. Many people that carry them, they are not the ones that birthed them. Things that human beings birth, sometimes they are not interested in the glory. They birth the thing and they go on. There's one man I heard of, I've forgotten his name now. He has the number of Nobel Prize winners in science that were his students are many, but he never won a prize. They will carry out what he says and they win a Nobel Prize. Those who birth things must be connected to the realm of the spirit. I'm bringing an issue for you here. That is, God has storehouse in the heavens. He has business ideas in there. He has technological ideas in there. There are things that he has kept in there. And you know what the Bible is saying concerning you right now. He said, the Lord, I'm praying for you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse.
Amen.
The Lord will open for you his storehouse, the heavens.
Amen.
He will bring for you the kind of ideas that will lift you up.
Amen.
He will take you out of the realm of poverty into the realm of abundance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, the Lord will give you rain for your land in its season. And bless all the work of your hand.
Amen.
Let me say something to you clearly. You can try. And that's how life is. You can try. That's all you can do. But what really makes a man, makes a woman succeed in life is always beyond that person. That's what the Bible calls rain. No human being knows how to make rain. You can sow your seed, then you pray that rain will come. Do you understand my point? That's what the Bible is talking about. You can have business ideas. One of my friends said that they started a company. They produce good products. I said, what is the next level now? He said, we need marketers. He never got marketers. The thing did not move. That's how it is. So when the Bible talks about rain, it's practical. It's practical. I read this man's book, though he doesn't understand everything he's saying. And the Bible says that he himself does not know how. It is like that. Paul Getty. J.P. Getty was the richest man in the world at that time. And then he talked about the time that all the other people conspired against him to kill his business. He was drilling crude. It was pumping out of the ground at an alarming rate, but they conspired not to buy. Now listen to this. Drilling costs money. Maintaining staff costs money. He only had a limited capacity for storage. He was desperate. And listen, the only reason why he made it was, I think, the head of, was it Shell or one of these other companies that time came to the U.S. and he went to meet the man and explain his dilemma. If that man had said, sorry, I can't help you, you would never have heard of J.P. Getty till today. But that man just did something. He just called his people and gave them instructions, buy this man's oil. The moment he said buy, he had broken the cartel that was arrayed against him. So all of them broke their arrangement and began to buy. And that was how he became the richest man in the world. That is, except God pours rain upon you, your effort is nothing. The brightest minds, you never heard of them. Two young men sued them, Mark Zuckerberg the other day, that Facebook was their idea. They said they were the one that came up with the idea of Facebook. But you didn't run with it. He paid them off with $50 million. Okay, let's stop quarreling. Give me $50 million. I mean, go and watch the movie. I've not seen the movie, but I saw the two of them. I think they are twins or brothers. They were interviewed on TV. They were so sure Facebook was the idea that Zuckerberg stole it from them. Me, don't worry, it didn't impress me. Because if you know where this, like, people cross-fertilize ideas a lot. People sit down and discuss, it didn't impress me. I don't care. And even if he didn't steal it from you, you probably would never have produced it. One Chinese man would have done his own and run you out of the business. So forget that thing. You know that my point? Uh-huh. I'm trying to explain the principle of rain. No matter the ideas you have in life, if you don't have rain upon what you are doing, it won't go anywhere. Most people who become very successful in life, go and check it, they can tell you the stories of how God poured rain upon what they were doing. Rain. So you understand what rain is. That is why I'm declaring to you again from the scriptures. God, from his storehouse again in heavens, will give you rain upon your own land.
Amen.
He will give you that rain in his season.
Amen.
He will bless the work of your hand.
Amen.
And you'll be so blessed that you will lend to many nations.
Amen.
But you shall not borrow.
Amen.
Christians misunderstand this sometimes. They think that God says there's a commandment, never borrow. Even Jesus borrowed. When he collected Peter's boot, what was that? When he said, go there, there's one colt tied there. Tell them the master has need of it. What was that? But he returned it. He paid back. So there's no outright commandment saying you must never borrow. You must never steal. Anyway, some people borrow what they know they can't pay back. That is stealing. I've seen them. Come and borrow what he can't pay back. Doesn't have anything. Doesn't have money. Go and borrow a Mercedes-Benz. Not an old one or a new one. A jam. Go and tell the owner, I'm sorry. You should respect yourself. You understand my point? Not borrow that kind of thing. Go and borrow a keke napep. So that if he jumps, you tell the guy, give me time, I'll pay. You go and borrow a car that if you work at this current rate for 750 years, you won't solve the problem you caused with the engine. The borrowing here, all right, was not talking about I can't borrow from somebody. He was saying you will so prosper, you will have no need to borrow. That's what he's talking about. That you will so prosper, you will have no need to borrow.
Amen.
So hear the word of God. God will cause his good storehouse in heavens to open to you, and he will give you rain in your own season.
Amen.
He will bless the work of your hand.
Amen.
So much that you will lend to nations, but you shall not borrow.
Amen.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You will only be above and you will not be beneath.
Amen.
You will only be above, you will not be beneath.
Amen.
He now added one thing to it. Just continue to listen. Tell your neighbor, continue to listen.
Continue to listen.
Continue to listen.
Continue to listen.
Tell the person you can never stop listening. As long as the word is entering into you, your progress will continue to manifest.
Amen.
It will never happen to you at a time. You say, you have prospered so much, I don't have time to go and hear the word of God. May you not experience that kind of prosperity.
Amen.
You don't need it.
Amen.
Because Moses ended that blessing. As long as you listen to the commandment of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. And I've explained to us here already that it is not the effort. It is the attention to listening. The observation to do is a sign that we listened attentively. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, thank you for this season of refreshing that you have taught me the word of prayer. Thank you for helping me understand the power in your words. Thank you for helping me understand how to pray effectively. Thank you, Lord, for removing the fear of enemies from me. Thank you, Lord, for making me understand that I am above alone, I am not beneath. Thank you, Lord, for helping me realize that I am not disadvantaged in any form, that the resources of God are available to me. He said, the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. Which means all the resources of God are available to every one of them. Say, Lord, thank you because I realize that I'm not disadvantaged. Yes, success is my portion. Victory is my portion. Righteousness is my portion. Walking in holiness is my portion. I am a good Christian according to the entrance of the word of God. I am a good Christian. I reflect the character of God. I add to my faith virtue. 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 Yes, I express the virtue of God. Thank you, Lord, because I realize it's by grace. It's not by my effort. I give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.